I'm not sure if you're familiar with deliberate practice, but there is a concept on how to get better. And a lot of professional athletes do it. You just don't go out and play a round of golf, but you practice your hardest shots. And then you have a plan beforehand and you have details afterwards on how to get better. Hmm. So deliberate practice is about getting better.
Yeah, that's interesting. Growth is in the areas that are uncomfortable.
Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales, but the reality is it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is attention equals dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars.
Hey, welcome back to the Attention Equals Dollars podcast. I'm your host, Luke Nessler. Listen, this podcast is all about how to get attention online and offline and turn that attention into sales. How do you grow your business? Now, this shows the roadmap for you to find success online and offline. And I bring my expert friends like our guest today, Mr. John Ebert, and they tell you their stories. They teach you what they've done to create massive success for themselves. So I'm super excited to have John here with us today. John's a graduate of the University of Notre Dame, where you played baseball.
You're an athlete
as well. You also attended MIT, so that's awesome. We'll get into that as well. Early in John's career, you worked for one of the Big Eight accounting firms, Arthur Young, which is a firm in Dallas, and you worked with companies Frito-Lay, American Airlines, Hager Slacks, and the Dallas Cowboys. In 1988, John and his father, Jack, were accepted into the McDonald's training program as registered applicants to purchase a McDonald's franchise. They purchased their first store in July of 1990 in my hometown, Bridgeport, West Virginia, and now John owns 41 McDonald's franchises, and I'm sure that might be growing. John's the chairman of the East Division Profit Team and former winner of the Golden Arch Award, which is presented to less than 1% of the McDonald's owner-operators. John is the 2016 recipient of the Al Golan Brand Trust Award, which is presented to only one operator in the McDonald's system. He's spoken to numerous McDonald's operator groups on how to improve their profitability and focusing on key drivers in the business, which obviously I'm excited to get into today with you as well. And John has completed, this is so impressive to me. John has completed 2 marathons in the last 3 years and done 9 triathlons.
Those are fun. Yeah, I love working out, and I did go to Notre Dame. I have a degree in accounting, but I love marketing, and I love talking to you about how to get more people
absolutely.
In our restaurants.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's an honor to have you here today, and more importantly, we've had some exciting guests on the show, but definitely to have you in the studio with us today and being able to see the place and say hello to my team and be able to talk with
you
live
today.
Well,
thanks for having
me.
Yeah, we're excited. It'll be fun to try to tell the story, and hopefully they can pick up a few nuggets.
Well, let's dive right into it. So obviously you graduate with an accounting degree, you go to MIT, you have a great job in Dallas. When does it register to you that you're like, I want to do my own thing, and why McDonald's?
So after, I was hired by Arthur Young. They hired 50 people, and after 5 years, there were 5 of us left. So it's a lot of attrition all the way to the top, but I kind of wanted to own my own business or go to a great MBA school. So after 5 years, I was really thinking, what's the best MBA school I can get into? But concurrent with this, we're working on an IPO. We're taking a company public. Mm. And what you'd do is you'd do all this work, and you'd have to actually take a break in the middle of the night where I went to the printers where they could update all the changes. And I'm sitting in there, and I'm watching a video about how to own a franchise.
Yeah.
So, we had just worked for probably 3 weeks nonstop. So the company eventually, we got everything done, the S-1 done, and now I had about a week off. So I bought a book called Behind the Golden Arches, written by John Love.
Mm.
And it talked about McDonald's, the McDonald's story. So my sister at this time was also a teacher in Dallas. And one of her students' father owned a McDonald's. So I talked to him about it. So I said, hey, I'm going to try to own a McDonald's. So what that entailed was getting accepted into a McDonald's training program to own a McDonald's. And they had thousands of applicants, and they probably took a couple hundred. I think they had like 20,000-30,000 applicants. They only took a couple hundred. So I got accepted. I had to quit my job at Arthur Young. We had blue chip clients, like you mentioned.
Was it scary?
Yeah, a little scary because I am now working for no pay in a McDonald's.
Yeah, explain that. I don't think that the general public knows how that works. So you literally had to work for free.
So I was a registered applicant. I was registered to try to get the details on how to own a McDonald's. So I had to go work all the shifts. Every Saturday morning, I would get up at 4 o'clock and drive over to Grapevine and open up the McDonald's. I was the opening manager, so I learned how to do that. So there's no pay, and there's four schools you have to go to, culminating with Hamburger University. So instead of doing it part-time, a lot of people will keep their jobs and pick up the 2,000 hours part-time. At this point, I'm 27 years old, so I decide to do it full-time. And I had saved money, and my parents had given me some money, so my net earnings that 1 year was zero. But, you know, so I'm working in McDonald's, and I got through the program in 2,000 hours.
Wow. And, so 27 years old, you've got a job that a lot of, even today, 27-year-olds would dream to have.
Right.
And you read a book, and something spoke to you in that book, and you said, I think now's my time. And you said some people will still work part or full time and do this when
right.
they can. You took the leap completely.
Yeah, I threw everything in. I decided to go for it full time. I thought I was just get through it quicker. But what happened was after I graduated from Hamburger University, now it's time to buy a McDonald's. And I'm looking at them all over the country. You know, they have one in Silsbee, Texas, a small town, one in Philadelphia, one in Houston. But the best McDonald's was in Bridgeport.
Wow.
So I know you were born around 1990. Yeah. When I bought the McDonald's in Bridgeport, it had just replaced the they had an upside-down airplane in it. So in 1990, they remodeled it. I bought it. And that was our first McDonald's.
Now, had you ever been to West Virginia before that?
You know, I grew up in Ohio, so I'd been through the state, and I had some friends that lived in Morgantown, but I hadn't spent a lot of time. Ironically, Notre Dame is playing West Virginia in a bowl game right before then. There's a picture of West Virginia, and I thought, you know, I really don't know that many people that live there. Sure enough, about a year later, I'm here in West Virginia, and it's been lovely. It's been a great place to raise a family.
Awesome. Yeah, it is. A lot of people from, you know, when I'm traveling and I tell people, I was born and raised in West Virginia, they ask me how far from Richmond that is because they think that it's the western part of Virginia.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And it's, you know, and there's a lot of bad publicity that gets put on West Virginia, but it's full of just the greatest, most down-to-earth people, and you know, it makes me happy to see somebody like you coming from out of state, coming in state, and not just building something, but building something amazing
thank you. You know, so when I trained in Dallas, I mean, the employees are much different than they are in West Virginia. So West Virginia, I buy the McDonald's, and the employees are coming to work like 10 minutes early, you know, excited about their jobs. And the work ethic is good.
Yeah.
Very good. So I've been blessed with a lot of long-term employees.
That's all you can ask for. That's
yeah.
awesome. So let's talk about that. So you got in 1990, your first location. How long did you have that before you were like, all right, it's time for more? And why? You didn't just get a couple more. It's 41. Is that an accurate number
right
now?
Right. So what happened was 1990, we bought our first store in Bridgeport, and it needed some help. I mean, it needed to run better. So you're working nonstop. You know, you go to work probably 7 o'clock in the morning and getting off at 7, 8 o'clock at night. And I'm doing this 7 days a week, just trying to turn the store around. So literally working for 15 months in a row, you know, just trying to get it going. So we passed what's called these visits. We passed this visit, so I decided to go on vacation down to Myrtle Beach. And as soon as I leave, they come over, the top guy from McDonald's in the region, and says, we're going to offer you a second store in Shinston. So this is, we end up opening that store in April of 1992, a second store. Then we built Nutter Fort in 94. We bought Weston in 95. So it's just been growing to the point where we had about 17 stores until a couple years ago. We bought the Morgantown market, bought the Charleston market and Washington, PA market, so in the Fairmont market. So there's been a lot of growth lately in the last couple years. But when we opened Shinston, an interesting story on Shinston, we decided to have a contest to see who could eat there the most consecutive days. And I thought this thing would go 30 or 60 days. It went for over 6 years. people were...
Would eat there every day for 6 years.
Yeah, well, they might just get a drink or something, but they kept it up for 6 years until one guy broke his hip and they had to decide to stop it.
Gosh.
So they got a dollar a day for every day hilarious. They ate there. So
wow.
But yeah, that's a marketing idea.
Yeah,
you know, Luke,
I love that.
You know,
now, was that your idea?
Yeah, it was, because customers would say to me, I eat here every day. So I said, hey, I'm going to have a contest to see who could eat here every day. And so that was a lot of hamburgers in a row.
I was curious about this, and I meant to ask you in our conversation beforehand. So this will be interesting. I'm really excited to get your response on this. So one of the biggest questions that my clients have, especially about social media, is they're so afraid of when somebody says something bad, when something bad gets put out that might be looked at as negative, and how you handle it. So I don't know when it was, but when the documentary about McDonald's came out, Supersize Me, how all the McDonald's around, really, I guess the world, handled that, and you know, some changes you saw, and how it didn't, at least from the outside, it didn't really hurt you guys. And if it did, you came back stronger than ever. How did you, as an individual owner of all these different franchises, what type of an impact did you see from bad PR like that? Mm-hmm. And how did you, from a marketing standpoint, how did you handle that and overcome that? Because I think that is the biggest, scariest scenario somebody could think of.
Right. It can happen. There's no doubt about it. When Spurlock came out with that, we did change our sizing. We just have large now. But with that said, I to your point, I think you have to tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you tell the story? You know, the wonderful things we do for the community, you know, our involvement with the community. You know, McDonald's has changed their food over the years, and it is more nutritious, and it is much better. You know, I eat there every day, and I love it. So, with that said, I you are at the mercy of that, but you have to almost tell your own story.
Yeah.
And social media is powerful.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. When we had Beanie Babies came out.
Oh, I remember that.
I'm trying to think.
I might have been in middle school.
Yeah.
I remember
it
that.
It probably was in the mid 90s, but it was amazing in Bridgeport. When the new toy came out, it wasn't really through social media, but somehow people got on the phones and the word got out. We were getting packed within an hour. So
that's crazy.
It is.
Now, was that a nationwide campaign?
It was nationwide, you know, but my brother at that point worked in Bridgeport, knew a lot of people, and somehow they would get the word out. And it wasn't through social media, but at that point I realized how powerful was. You know, McDonald's spends a lot of money on advertising, there's no doubt, through national TV, through radio. But I'll tell you, the best thing advertising is word of mouth through social
Absolutely.
Media. You know, you have a good experience.
Absolutely.
You know, so that can really drive it.
Well, I think a lot of, especially on the social media side of things, a lot of people are resistant to getting on because they look at it as, well, people are going to say bad things about my business if I'm on social media. But the reality of it is, If somebody has a negative experience with your business, which it happens to everybody, right? We're all humans. We make mistakes. Regardless if you're there or not, they're going to put negative things on you.
Right.
So the companies that do very well do what I would say, that they play offense. So they're always putting out, you said, the good. Tell your story. What are you doing in the community? What ingredients are being put into your dishes? So that occasionally if something does happen, somebody has a bad experience, somebody doesn't like the food, you're now not trying to backpedal and make up for something. You've got so much good out there that it's hard to really, you know, overlook that because of one bad thing. Would you agree with that?
Right, I would agree. I will tell you, I'm loving it. Campaign's been out for a period of time, but the company that came up with it, they went out to consumers and said, what would it be like if there was no McDonald's out there? And the feedback was pretty positive. It really was. And they came up with the campaign. I'm loving it. And it's been the marketing mantra for a period of time, but it was interesting to propose.
Yeah.
You know, I remember as a kid growing up visiting McDonald's, you know, going there after baseball games and football games and so forth. So it's a great place.
Now, so I think you had said something subtly that shows that you really do believe in your product, that it is, you know, it is quality. It is you do have nutritious products because you're not just some, you know, gentleman that owns a business. You're an athlete. You've done 9 triathlons and you said, I eat there every single day.
I do.
So putting that type of content out to the world that, you know, what are, you know, we do have nutritious options and showcasing real people that are active and currently, you know, pursuing an athletic, whatever it may be. Is that something that you guys put out as well, showing that it's not necessarily the you know, the people that you would see on Super Size Me that eat here?
Right. It's balanced. I mean, you need a balanced lifestyle. So I'll tell you one thing. I work in the stores a lot when I'm in there. You get so hungry, and I'll tell you, just love eating it. Every day I'm there, I typically eat at McDonald's. So, and it's, you know, I believe in the product and I enjoy it. So, but it is about balance. There's no doubt about it. I mean, when I wake up in the morning, first thing I want to do is work out.
Yeah.
So, that's a lot of fun.
So you just said something I found interesting. You said I'll work in the stores when I'm there. What are some of the things that you're doing?
I actually have a personal assistant, Andrew Hendricks, and he does a wonderful job for me. He helps me out. Helps me with all the scorecards. We'll go in. We have a checklist. We pretty much go, what's it look like outside? What the restrooms look like? You know, what's our UHC cabinets look like? And then we'll typically work a station sometimes at lunch to free up an extra person to try to help help them out. So
that's,
they get, when
that's
I'm
amazing.
Done in the day, Luke, they'll get a list. You know, this is the things that we're trying to focus on.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with deliberate practice, but there is a concept on how to get better. And a lot of professional athletes do it. You just don't go out and play a round of golf, but you practice your hardest shots. And then you have a plan beforehand and you have details afterwards on how to get better. Mm. You know, if you're a figure skater, you just don't
That's
go
fair.
Out and, skate around. You practice your hardest jumps. You critique them and how to get better. So deliberate practice is about getting better.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Erickson is the writer of that, and some of the best professional athletes have that deliberate practice.
Yeah. Growth is in the areas that are uncomfortable. You know,
right.
one of my big, the value that I bring to the company is I'm the face. I'm responsible for selling. So with me, my deliberate practice every day, it's what am I going to say to those questions that are uncomfortable, or when somebody says that's too much, we got somebody that does that already. A lot of times people will practice the things that come easy and that are comfortable. Practicing the things that scare the daylights out of you on a daily basis. And that's something that, like you said, an athlete would do. There's no difference between an athlete and a business person as far as how you have to train, how you have the mindset.
Yeah, the growth mindset. Mindset, there's no doubt about it. And also Angela Duckworth on grit, leadership grit. You know, they did a study, a West Point study, that people that really succeed aren't necessarily the hardest ones, but the people that are the grittiest, people that dig
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
And we actually, for eighth grade students, we put on a class called Leadership Grit, and we get the top speakers from all over. They come in and talk about how they had to dig in
that's
when
amazing.
Things weren't going well.
I need to introduce you to a good friend of mine and somebody that's been on this podcast, Matt Monero. He's actually from Dallas.
Okay.
He owns a commercial financing business. They're going to do $250 million this year. We're doing the marketing for a book, but his first book was called The Grit, and I've read it, and his new book's called You Need More Money. It's an amazing book, but he's all about what you just said.
Yeah.
And getting out of your comfort zone and doing the things that you don't want to do. And you know, he's a mentor of mine as well. And we've had multiple conversations revolving around what you're talking about, which is, nothing comes easy that's going to be, extraordinary and great. You didn't build, a 41 location business empire, overnight. And, and something you said before, John's in these stores every single day working these stores, and you're someone that have done very well for yourself.
Well,
a lot
you.
Of times people would probably, deploy their team to go out and do that and not even touch the business. I have massive respect that you're 41 locations deep and you're still in working the trenches every single day yourself.
It's the easiest way for me to see what's going on too. Yeah. There's no doubt. It's a challenging business.
How important do you think that is, that the person at the very top is in the trenches? And, I'm sure you've probably flipped a burger in the last year. How important is that to stay
in? I think it's important. It's a good visual cue for them, but also I understand what some of their issues are.
Yeah.
So we meet every Monday at 1 o'clock with our top people.
Yeah.
And we get a packet about this thick. Now it's on the internet, but where we talk about the key numbers. So when they're talking about the issues with the shake machine or whatever, I kind of have a feel for it.
Mm.
Sometimes you look at the numbers, hey, they should be better, but you're in the store and you realize, hey, I see what's going on. I really do. So we enjoy it. So McDonald's is about working hard. You're an owner operator.
Yeah.
You're not, and these stores are, in my backyard. The Bridgeport store is 2 miles away. So, you know, you're an owner operator. You know, you can't own stores out in California from here. So, and it helps. But I'll tell you, we'll do 16 million transactions next year. Wow. And I'll ring up a couple of them. But I realized for me to win, I have to win through others. And,
you know,
so we have a lot of leadership classes and so forth.
How that's something that you're big on. And was that the, you know, your TEDx talk was helping others reach their potential.
Right.
So let's talk about that. And how does one scale their business? And this is something that I'm in that state and that point in my career as well, to where we're working with some of the biggest brands in the world. We're getting ready to grow our team. And, you know, 29 years old, I'm learning how to be a leader as I go.
Right.
So somebody that has done it, how important is, you know, helping others reach their potential? How important is that to scaling your business?
It's huge. You know, so tonight in Grafton, when the store's open, I won't be there, but I have to make sure I have good leaders there. So we have a leadership class right now for the group, a group from Grafton and Mannington, and the transformation in this 10 weeks has been amazing on how much better they are. We put through a lot of role playing, and it's funny, after only coming to a couple classes, the first two classes, we said, you know, what are we all about? What's our organization all about? And, you know, we got some very positive comments. This is only after maybe 3 hours. You know, you care, you want to develop people. So to be a leader, you really have to develop other people. They feel a sense of accomplishment and a sense of loyalty to you when you've helped them develop.
Yeah. That's something that I've really found an important part of, and again, this, you know, this podcast is all about getting attention and turning it into sales, but you can't get the attention of the marketplace and convert that into sales and expect to continue to grow if you don't have your foundation built properly. If you've got a poor team that's going to deliver a poor experience, that doesn't know how to handle certain situations, there's certain things that you have to do right yourself with your team before you can scale. So knowing that that's really where your background is and where you feel that you're great. And you're so humble too. You're so look, we've done business with a lot of very successful people. And they're great, but a lot of them, they look down on people that haven't reached that level of success yet. They treat you differently. They look at you differently. You're humble, you're kind, and you show your leadership and your dominance via doing what you don't have to do, and I think others take note of that. So I don't know if anybody's ever pointed that out, but that's definitely what I see.
Thanks for that. I will tell you, I have really two organizations. Our original organization is led by a 40-year employee, J.D. Owens, and she's done a wonderful job. But when we started buying these stores, I brought in a Jody Richards, who's the top employee from McDonald's. They actually let me hire her, so she runs those stores. So I have a lot of confidence in them. And I'll tell you, I think you perform better with people who are authentic and really care about them. I do care about our people, trying to make them as successful as possible. Yeah. And it makes me successful.
How important is social media to your business today?
It's huge. There is no doubt about it.
Why is that?
The word gets out fast. It gets out pretty quickly. My daughter is on Instagram. I mean, she gets home. She's a tennis player at Bridgeport, but she gets home, parks the car, and I'll tell you, she's in there for about a good 15-20 minutes.
Scrolling.
Yeah, it is. Just flying through. It just connects people.
Yeah.
It is amazing. So, you know, I wouldn't mind reaching out to you and actually learning more, because we actually came up with a basket of fries. It's just sold in this area. It's a hot basket of fries, and that's something I want to push the envelope on.
It's, you know, it's funny is, I was just in Boston a couple of weeks ago with my best friend for his bachelor party, and we're coming back through, and we stopped at a McDonald's, and we were leaving, and I told him, and I said, hey, John's coming up, we're going to do a podcast, and he obviously knew who you were. He lives in Martinsburg now, but he's from Bridgeport, and he said, do you remember the basket of fries? And I said, yeah, is that only in a Bridgeport thing? And he said, yeah, I think so, because he went to law school in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
He said, they don't have him down there. So it's funny that you bring that up. So
yeah, what happened on that was...
that's all your idea.
Yeah, we were driving out to a Notre Dame football game. My wife had to stop at Starbucks, and I thought, you know, what's McDonald's best product at its best state? So these are baskets of fries hot out of the vat. And, you know, I'll tell you, we started doing it, and this customer comes in, and I said, you know, how did you hear about this? Well, he said, I was here yesterday, so I had it come back today. So, it's our idea.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So, wrapping up, give me, if you could tell yourself look back, and this is such a cliche question, but I always find it interesting when people ask this. I might ask you two questions. Look back at yourself when you're first starting. What's that one piece of advice that you would give yourself, knowing what you know today, that you think would change anything, or
my
is there
trajectory?
Anything?
I will tell you, just continue to work hard. You know, be true to yourself. Probably not worry quite as much. You know, just things typically work out.
Yeah.
So I would say probably just work hard. Continue to work hard. Stay focused. Try not to worry quite as much.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, McDonald's is a strong system. Mm. It's a good brand. You know, I've been associated with Arthur Young as a great brand. Notre Dame was a great brand. Arthur Young is a great brand. McDonald's is a great brand. You know, I've been blessed by that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like you go to Notre Dame and you know, it's a hard school to get into. 10,000 applicants for 1,600 positions. You get there and it's supposed to be great, and you get there and it is. Hmm. I mean, everything they do is first class. Same thing with McDonald's, their whole leadership, their training,
absolutely,
the top people above us. So
that's
one thing. The advice is just have confidence in yourself. Also, I mean, I took a risk. I love living in Dallas. There's no doubt about it. Just probably like your friend, the weather's incredible.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You give up a job to not know where you're going to move. So I love the sports in Dallas and so forth, but it's really worked out here in Bridgeport, and this whole area is a great place to raise a family.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I have a tremendous amount of respect for what you've done and what you're continuing to do. And you know, you probably don't have to do much at this point in your life, but you're still pushing as hard as I'm sure you were when you first started.
Well, thank
and
you, yeah.
As someone that's grown a business, I have a tremendous amount of respect for that. It's something that everybody watching or listening today mm-hmm. can definitely learn from. Where can people are you on social media yourself? Is there anywhere that we can follow you? I know
you just gave
the TEDx talk.
We have Twitter, @JohnEbertMCD.
Awesome.
I will tell you the biggest thing that we do though for the community is a free math ACT prep class.
I love that.
And we've had 2,300 kids come through, and and the TED Talk was kind of based on that, how people reach their potential. There was a girl in Philippi, her mother called me, and she needed a 27 on her ACT to get in the special medical program at Marshall.
Wow.
You know, she's valedictorian's in the 30s on everything, but she can't quite get it. So she comes to my house four times personally on Sunday with her mother, and I sit down with her. She goes in and goes from a 24 to a 26. She's 1 point short. And she's
and you personally
tutored
work
her.
With her.
Yeah,
every
year I get a couple people whom I work with.
Wow.
And so she's short, and her mother says she's devastated, but she digs in and uses that grit, goes back and gets a 28. So now she's in medical school at Marshall,
gosh.
A special medical program.
That's
direct entry. So, but to reach that ACT prep, it's JohnEbertMathACTPrep.com. JohnEbertMathACTPrep.com.
Yeah.
So we just had a class on Sunday night. 65 kids came to. So
wow.
I teach it along with a couple other teachers.
At your house?
That is at Bridgeport Middle School
okay.
with the 65.
Wow.
The girl from Philippi came. So my backstory on that was, to get into Notre Dame, I needed a good score. And consequently, you know, I sat down and studied so hard for it. When I went and took it, I had seen every question. So part of the TED Talk is about preparation, you know. And same thing with McDonald's. We got to be prepared all the time to do
absolutely.
Well. So
yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks,
for
buddy.
Being here. I
thank
appreciate
you for
it.
Having me.
Listen, we bring special guests like John to you at no cost. The way that you can repay, the way that you can help us, if you're watching live on Facebook, like the page, share this feed with somebody that you think could benefit from John's story. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Most importantly, if you're on iTunes, be sure to rate, subscribe, mm-hmm. leave us a review, let us know what you think. That's how people discover us.
Good deal.
And we'll be doing some more things with Mr. Ebert. And again, it's a pleasure having
it's
you
funny.
Here.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys next time.
Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales, but the reality is it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is attention equals dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars.